If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/youknowbusiness.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
Welcome to the Blackhawks Talk podcast, brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. I am Pat Boyle with Charlie Romeliotis. We're coming to you from the Hawks Development Camp, the Fifth Third Bank Arena. And Charlie, the Hawks kick off day two with a trade that, of course, I think, you know, we all saw coming. Artem Anisimov gets dealt to Ottawa for forward Zach Smith. Both the players are 31 years of age involved in this deal. The Hawks get $1.3 million in cap relief. Smith is a left shot. He's 6'2", almost 210 pounds, a bottom six guy who can play on the penalty kill, tough to play against. He's had some more success lately playing wing. He's played center in the past as well. Your thoughts initially just on this deal?
Yeah, I obviously we saw this coming. We've been talking about it for a while now, that Anisimov was probably the most likely candidate to be moved, especially after July 1st when he was owed his $2 million signing bonus and his modified no trade clause was removed. So not surprised. They do save some cap relief in $1.3 million. And it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out in a year from now, because they do want to prepare for the next contracts of DeBrincat and Strome. But I think they view Zach Smith more as a bottom six guy, someone you can probably plant on the fourth line. Going to be a little bit pricey, but a guy that you can also play anywhere in the top six. He scored a career high in goals when he was playing with Mark Stone and Pageau in Ottawa. So that's the kind of versatility the Hawks like. But I think the center depth and the PK, the fact that he can play center, win some draws, and play on the PK is also a factor.
Yeah, I think the winning the faceoffs is something that, other than Jonathan Toews, this team struggled mightily in, including Anisimov. A huge upgrade when you look at Smith's career numbers. You know, he's a 50.7 percent face-off player throughout his career. You look at Anisimov, he's been around 45% the last 5 years. So that's a huge upgrade in that department. And on the conference call, I thought it was interesting. You know, Zach said he's probably most comfortable playing center, but at this stage he thinks that, you know, his game suits the wing, but he likes that opportunity to take draws, which is something that, you know, Stan Bowman has been talking about, the versatility of some of these bottom six guys to be able to play wing and also to be able to take draws.
Yeah, exactly. It's another guy that can play center or wing, and I think that's what kind of made Anisimov expendable, is the fact that he wasn't very great in the faceoff department, and that's what the Hawks are trying to get. Because they think it's an underrated part of the possession game, is starting with the puck as soon as the puck drops. So Zach Smith is probably going to play on the wing, I'd imagine, but the fact that he has some strong faceoff numbers when he's on his, I can't even remember, I think he's on his strong side, is what Stan Bowman alluded to. I can see some situational faceoffs for Zach Smith.
So now your candidates for third and fourth line center, you throw Ryan Carpenter out there, who they acquired, David Kampf, who, you know, after the Carpenter deal, it seemed like, you know, Kampf was going to be more in a wing role because of his lack of success in draws. But, you know, you could see him in a situation where, you know, he could center with, say, a Zach Smith or Andrew Shaw or whatever, and you could see him play center, but you could see, depending on what side of the ice the draw is on, you know, a Zach Smith might take that draw.
Yeah, exactly. And I honestly don't think the Hawks have it mapped out who's going to play where. Like, it's really just going to be like, we're going to go into training camp and it's going to be like a free for all. And maybe we're going to see a lot of situational draws where, you know, if they're on the strong side, the lefty's going to take it. Or if they're on the other side, the righty's going to take, you know, and kind of look at the face-off numbers and see where David Camp or where Ryan Carpenter is most successful at in the face-off circles. And we might see that. And it's not uncommon to see guys like, you know, even when Patrick Sharp was here, he played center, but he also occasionally would, you know, when he moved to the wing, he still took draws and then moved back to the wing for the Blackhawks. So I think we could see a lot of that this coming season.
And one theme that we've heard throughout, it goes back to our conversation with Jeremy Colleton about a month or so ago, being tougher to play against. And that's something that Stan alluded to when describing Zach Smith. You know, he's been in that shutdown line type of position with Ottawa, and he's tough to play against. That's something they looked at this team as a void coming off of last season. That's something they've tried to address this offseason, and Smith certainly fits that from their perspective.
Yeah, they've really loaded up on these physical players with Andrew Shaw, and even Ryan Carpenter kind of can play that style, and obviously Zach Smith as well. So it's they've been very aggressive in their pursuit, and they've made it known that this is the kind of player, these are the kinds of players that we want, and they're going out and getting those types of players. And I think that's where the value comes in. You know, it maybe feels like a wash in a sense that Anisimov and Smith, aside from the salary, but the Hawks feel like Smith has more value, adds more value to the team because he can play that physical style and also play on the PK.
As for the development camp, there's basically two rosters, and they flip-flop between sessions, Team A and Team B. Team A is loaded with all the guys that are the top prospects in the Blackhawks organization. Let's start with the forward situation, since we're coming off the Smith acquisition. And, you know, our first look at Kirby Dach. And Alex Nylander as well, looking for a fresh start, had 31 points in 49 games with Rochester last year in the AHL, played a handful of games with the Sabres. You know, it was funny, as we spoke to him yesterday, Charlie, the Sabres had their development camp earlier this summer before he was moved, and he didn't take part in it. So, I mean, maybe the writing was on the wall that he knew he was on the move.
Yeah, exactly. And I do think it was smart for him to come to development camp, and I'm sure the Hawks, you know, advised him to come. It wasn't really all on him to come here, but he wanted...
Strongly suggested
that he arrives here and makes sure that he gets started on the right foot here in Chicago and trying to make a strong early impression so that the Hawks can, you know, talk to him off the ice as well and kind of pick his brain on what his role could be going forward.
And as you talked about before we started the podcast, you know, Nylander's the only one to have NHL experience who's out in this development camp on ice. And you can see that in the drills that they're taking part in. Like, we haven't seen any scrimmages yet or anything like that. We'll see something on Friday in that department. But it's been a lot of, you know, battles of skating drills, things of that nature. And, you know, Nylander looks to be, you know, a step ahead of the pack.
Yeah, I mean, he's been through these development camps, and he's obviously playing in NHL. So in terms of talent level, I'm sure there are other guys. I mean, he's right there with, you know, he was a former 8 overall pick, but, you know, Kirby Dach and Adam Boqvist, he's right in that echelon of players, but he obviously looks ahead of the curve because he is ahead of the curve because he's the only one here that has NHL experience.
Your thoughts on what you've seen from Dach and also from Kurashev? What I've seen so far from Kirby is a good skater. I think his first four strides, you can see he can accelerate quick. Good puck handler. You know, again, limited sample size here, but you can see some of the attributes that he has that garnered that third overall pick.
Yeah, he certainly doesn't look like an 18-year-old here. I mean, he's 200 pounds and six whatever, and I'm curious to see what he's... I'm really excited for the scrimmage on Friday because this is when we're going to get a gauge of all these players. Last year, you know, it was all the eyes were on Joakim Harju, and everyone knew that Boqvist was about at least a year or two away, so there wasn't any... Like, now there are a lot of storylines here to follow, whereas You know, it, where is Ian Mitchell in his development? Where is Kirby Dock in his development? Can Adam Boqvist take the next step? So there's going to be a lot of storylines to follow, but Kirby Dock certainly has been right up there in terms of talent level, and he looks comfortable. His first couple drills maybe look a little bit shaky, like shake out the nerves a little bit, but he's obviously one of the guys to watch here.
And you know, when we mentioned earlier the Zach Smith deal and how the bottom six looked, and while we mentioned David Camp being in a center role, Carpenter possibly being, you know, in a center role, Doc is still, you know, they're leaving a lot to this training camp to decide exactly where things are going to go. I mean, I think we would both probably guesstimate that it's a long shot for Kirby Doc to be with the team, but they're still leaving the door ajar to see if the number three overall pick can somehow make this team.
Yeah, the door is very clearly open, and they're not going to give it to him, but it's very, like, nobody sticks out to me as the potential third-line center right now. And Stan Bowman even talked about it in his press conference after the Anisimov trade. Like, he mentioned, he rattled off five different guys that could play center, potential, their third, and he even mentioned Andrew Shaw as a possibility for the third-line center. Like, it is wide open right now, and I don't even think they know who's going to play in that position right now. So Kirby Doc certainly has a chance to really make a name for himself in training camp and push for that position.
Let's get to the blue liners and another look at Adam Boqvist, Nicholas Beaudin. We saw Chad Chris once again, Ian Mitchell, who's going to go back to Denver. Also, Alec Vlasic, the second-round pick, who's going to go to Boston University, local kid from Wilmette. Just quickly on him, he was paired off quite a bit in skating drills up against Kirby Doc, and at 6'6", Vlasic held his own. The kid can scoot.
Yeah, Alex Vlasic is the only guy here in training camp that can make Kirby Doc look a little bit small because he's 6'6", and I think the Blackhawks really like the fact that Vlasic is a defensive-minded defenseman. Like, he's the kind of guy where you could see Stan Bowman get excited talking about Vlasic because they have a lot of offensive-minded defensemen in the organization with Boqvist, and even Mitchell, I would consider, is a strong puck mover, and Nicholas Beaudin, a two-way defenseman, but they have a lot of these offensive-minded defensemen. Vlasic would complement these guys perfectly, and I think they're excited to see where his development goes.
All right, let's talk about Adam Boqvist. We got a chance to speak with him yesterday. All indications are we will see him in Rockford, and that, you know, he won't go back to London. It's been an interesting process to see since he was taken last year by the Blackhawks, and the work that he's done with Brian Campbell, the tutelage of Mark Eaton, and how things have gone, you can see some maturation in him, just the way he carries himself.
Yeah, absolutely. And physically, he looks certainly more, his frame is starting to fill out. When I remember when he got drafted, I'm like, wow, this guy is 17 and he looks every bit 17 because he was just so tiny. And the skill is certainly there. Like, he is an all-world talent, skating ability. And I think if he can put the package together, it's really physical for me. Like, he's the kind of guy that sees the offensive. He's going to be driving possession from your back end. And he even said it himself yesterday. He's not the type of player that's going to push guys up against the wall and be a physical guy. Like, he wants to make sure that he's building his strengths. And it is interesting that it doesn't sound like he's going back to London next year. Like, I thought he would probably be there for 2 years. And if he did go back to London, Evan Bouchard is probably going to be in Edmonton. So, like, he would be the number one defenseman. So the fact that he said yesterday, too, that he's like, I want to turn pro as quickly as possible, is a very different mindset than when he got drafted after his first development camp. He's like, I still feel like I'm 2 to 3 years away. Like, he feels like he took a significant step in his development.
Curious, you know, back when we were in Vancouver and we were making our NHL draft predictions with who the Hawks would take third overall, we both thought Bowen Byram would be that guy. Do you think now, as you've seen everything transpire, Joakim Harju getting moved, Forsling being moved, and Boqvist looking like he's not going to go back to London and going to Rockford, do you think this was whiteboarded? Do you think, like, and do you think that that played a heavy role in them bypassing Bowen?
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't think they I don't think they steered away from a defenseman because they felt like, okay, we're going to trade Joakim Haru. We're going to trade it. I do feel like maybe they felt impressed with all of their young defensemen took a step forward in their development. Like, at this stage, you don't want the guys taking a step back is what you're really concerned about when they get drafted. And I think they were very they loved where Ian Mitchell went, and he's going to be the captain at Denver next year. And then they love Adam Boqvist having an emergence in London and leading all defensemen in playoff scoring. And then Nicholas Beaudin spent 4 years in the queue, and he's going to turn pro. Like, I feel like the Hawks organization was very satisfied with where their defensemen are growing, and they felt comfortable drafting a forward to fill those positions and make sure, because they feel pretty confidently in their offensive-minded defensemen.
You mentioned it. You talked to Ian Mitchell. Coming up next on the Blackhawks Talk podcast, we'll get into that discussion and what you're looking for in the final days of the development camp. That's coming up next on the Blackhawks Talk podcast.
Get all of your Blackhawks news in the palm of your hand with the My Teams app by NBC Sports. The best place to stream the games, watch highlights, read articles, and more. Download the My Teams app today.
Back on the Blackhawks Talk podcast, brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers, Charlie Remeliotis, Pat Boyle with you. You spoke to Ian Mitchell on Monday of development camp, and you know, we spoke to Mark Eaton over the summer, and we discussed, you know, kind of the process that they went through, and it sounded like it was a group decision that he would return to Denver for his junior year, and that, you know, he felt he wasn't ready, and that the Hawks concurred that he wasn't, you know, ready to step into an NHL role. And then it's funny, fast forward to now, some things being written and said that, like, oh, they're trying to talk him out of it. I don't see it that way. Do you?
No, I don't either. And I honestly just feel like it was, they're finally getting Ian Mitchell to development camp, and they can actually sit down and have a conversation with his camp. And I know the Henry Joakim Haru trade maybe changed. I don't think it did, but maybe it was like the Hawks just moved on from Joakim Haru. Maybe there's a door that opened up. I don't see Mitchell changing his mind at all. He seems like a very loyal kid. He wants to be, he's going to be the captain at Denver. I can see him wanting to, like any other player, and this isn't a storyline, but Ian Mitchell seems like a guy that's very like coveted in the organization, and I don't see the Blackhawks trying to convince him out of that decision. I just think it's the fans that are like, oh my God, we might have another Kevin Hayes situation on our hands where he spends 4 years in college, then he walks as a UFA, and he's a guy that just walks for nothing. And I don't think that's the case.
No, here. No, I thought this was thoroughly discussed on his part. He consulted with other players that went to Denver and went the route he did, going back for some extra time in college. He values being the captain of that team and thinks he's going to learn a lot from that experience. He's a man of his word in that sense. And then when you spoke to him, everything he said in that conversation was like, no. Let's not get it twisted here. I'm planning on signing with the Blackhawks, and that's my goal. So yeah. Nothing that he said, no body language, no nothing lends me to believe this is going to be a Kevin Hayes situation.
Yeah, he's a very well-spoken kid. Like, the Kevin Hayes situation, you can kind of see the writing on the wall from, like, a little bit away. Like,
well,
this is a situation.
His brother played a major role in that. And, I mean, I think we all, and honestly, I can understand that. But that's a whole different story.
Exactly.
And there's many layers to that decision. This is completely different.
Yeah, the fear, I guess, here is that he's a young kid and he can change his mind. The concern for me is if he goes back for a senior season, because this is the year that you really want him to take the leap forward. He's going to be the captain. He's going to be playing heavy minutes. Like, if he doesn't sign after his junior season, then you can start questioning whether this is an actual possibility. But there have been no indications on his end that he's going to walk away from the Blackhawks. Like, he truly wants to be part of this organization, and the organization values him deeply as well.
You know, when you're sitting out there just watching these young blue liners go through their drills, you can kind of forecast a little bit of just like the tough decisions that are going to be made, and maybe just how good this defensive core could be 2 to 3 years down the road.
Yeah, they're very excited about the possibility of what this group can bring. And they all bring a different skill set. Like Boquist is offensive-minded. Ian Mitchell can drive the possession, but he can also play a defensive style of game. And Nicholas Beaudin, two-way game. Like all these
Beaudin
guys.
Beaudin thinks he's really – we spoke to him today. He really thinks he's improved in that area defensively and takes pride in becoming a more complete, well-rounded defenseman.
Yeah, exactly. And he's a first round pick too. So, like – it's not like he's the kind of guy where he might be ready in a few years. Like, he potentially could – he's probably going to start the year in Rockford because he's if he doesn't make the Blackhawks out of training camp, which is unlikely. And he could certainly be a mid-season call-up where you see his development growing in Rockford. But, yeah, another guy that has high-end ability that the Blackhawks are very high on.
So any other players that have jumped off the page? I mean, what did you think of Entwistle? Is there anybody else that you've – kind of been keeping an eye on during the early stages of the development camp and maybe that you're looking forward to seeing Friday in the scrimmage?
Yeah, Philip Kurashev is a guy I'm really trying to keep my eye on because he along with Evan Barrett probably were the two prospects that took the biggest step in their development this past season, or at least forward-wise, because their numbers were just off the charts. Evan Barrett was, you know, had a 25-point improvement. He was battling through a hip injury. He got surgery on it. He's going to be ready for he expects to be ready for his junior year at Penn State. And then there's Philip Kurashev, who was sensational at the World Juniors for Switzerland. He was named one of the top three forwards in the actual tournament. So the fact that he's going to be starting the year in Rockford and could be available for a midseason call-up, I still don't know if they like him, if they project him to be a future centerman or a winger. I feel like he's probably more effective on the wing because he's a shooter and he could be a playmaker as well. But he's a guy I'm really honing in on as a guy that's a kind of like a wild card in this development camp.
As we sit right now with the Hawks having, I think, $3.3 million after the acquisition of Zach Smith, 20 players under contract. Do you think, you know, look, they've got a decision to make with Perlini. Do you think we're done seeing, you know, any moves, any trades, and they'll just kind of maybe finalize the Perlini situation and go from there?
Yeah, I do think the Anisimov trade was kind of the last big domino to fall this offseason, and now it's going to be I don't know where things stand with Brendan Perlini, and maybe he could be a guy that gets traded, but it seems like any moves that are made now are going to be for financial reasons only. Like they got it. I know they can go 10% over the cap and then they have to get under the cap when opening night rolls around, but they want to make sure that they have enough cap space to do some in-season transactions and making sure that they have guys that can step into the lineup if they have different contract situations in training camp. But I think the Anisimov trade was the last of it, and then training camp's going to roll around, and we're going to see how all that plays out.
And Stan Bowman does not seem concerned at all with the situation down the road of signing DeBrincat and or Strome. He feels like the contracts that they have, a lot of the deals that are out there are short-term deals that will be coming off the books, and he thinks they're in good position to handle that an off season from now. And we also have an expansion draft that will take place, and so there's a player in possibly that the Hawks could lose or quote unquote make a deal with Seattle, and that would be another way for cap relief.
Yeah, next season is going to be a very interesting summer for the Blackhawks for different reasons than this year. Like, this summer was interesting because they want to make sure that they have enough money to pay Alex DeBrincat and Dylan Strome next summer. Next summer is kind of the summer where you get rid of those guys that are on maybe the final year of their contracts, because you're going to have to protect those guys in the Seattle expansion draft, because the expansion draft happens before the new calendar year. So anyone that's on their like Zach Smith is a guy that he will, let's just say he plays out his full contract with the Blackhawks. After that second year, he's still under contract with the Blackhawks until it's July 1st. So they will, I think I'm misspoken here. But anyways, if they're under the unrestricted free agency. They're still under contract for the Blackhawks, so they're going to have some roster decisions to make. I could see them making it next summer to get ahead of the Seattle expansion draft, because right now they have a lot of guys signed past a few years. Like, they're going to have to probably utilize the eight skater option as it goes right now because of the no movement clauses. But next summer will be interesting how that all plays out.
Yeah, we'll get to that next summer. Just
yeah, I don't know why I haven't done.
But bottom line is, you know, Stanfield's like cap wise, they were in great shape this summer. They're, even with all the moves they made, they're still sitting in a good spot. Maybe a couple minor tweaks to have some flexibility during the season. And again, they're, although you know there are certain contracts they're locked into and would be hard to move, they like where they're at. Like the goaltending situation, you've got $11 million allocated to Corey Crawford, you know, and as you look at it, they're going to be able to pull off, you know, that situation and have some relief there as
yeah.
well.
They're not locked in any of those long-term contracts that might get in the way of those. Yeah.
With Robin Leonard getting the $5 million and Corey getting $6 million. So, both of those guys will be coming off the books, and theoretically you'd be signing one of those players. Okay, that is going to put a wrap on this edition of the Blackhawks Talk podcast, brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. For Charlie Romeliotis, I'm Pat Boyle. Thanks for listening, as always, and we'll catch you next time.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.